when we call to see the teddy bear here to play. If you don't come play with us, then we will kill you.
On the deep depths of darkness emerges a light, recognized as merely by a paranormal masterpiece. Company Bill Bachman, each and every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, as he examines the specialties within the paranormal field, from scientists, historians, theologists, parapsychologists, occultists, demonologists, shamans, UFOlogists, cryptologists, and every author, paranormal investigator, medium, psychic, and pop culture icon in between. Land of Oz, Mr. Bill Bachman.
Good evening and welcome to the Incubi Incarnate Broadcast. I'm your host, Bill Bachman, and with us tonight is Molly O'Connelly. You guys have seen her on Killer Contact. She's involved in a million things, and there's 100 things we got to go over, so I'm going to bring her in right now. Molly, thanks for being on tonight.
Hi, thanks for having me.
No problem. We're excited to have you on. one of the first things I always ask everybody is to get started, what got you involved into the paranormal? What sparked your interest there?
It's a good question. I think the first time I actually remember having an interest was at my book fair, like in the third grade. There was a book called Haunted Ohio. And, I bought it, and I read it, and it just kind of creeped me out a bit, and I just found it really interesting, that things unseen can interact with us and affect our lives in very real ways. So that's
all right.
The first time I took an interest.
Well, after that book, did you go looking for similar type books and things like that, or was there like a gap in between when you started doing things?
I grew up in a non-denominational Christian home. So interest in the occult or ghosts even was not encouraged in my house. So I pretty much just stuck to books. There weren't any of those ghost shows that are around now, right? So
right.
Ghost Hunters are one of the first ones. The closest thing to it was Unsolved Mysteries, when they would have those ghost segments. Yeah, that's as close as it got as far as, watching stuff on TV. So I was pretty much limited just to, just to reading books, because the internet wasn't really around that much.
Right,
when I was
right.
Younger.
Yep, and I remember that, too. I remember being a kid and, like, Unsolved Mysteries come on. That was, like, one of the scary shows that came on, It was, like, the X-Files before the X-Files, and then the X-Files came out. But then, we poke fun at some of the TV shows and things like that on this show, but they've really done a lot as far as making it acceptable to be an investigator or to do a lot of things. They've really made it acceptable and cool. So they've been useful, but they sure weren't
right.
Around when I was a kid.
Yeah, and I think it's been really good. It's given a platform, for such topics and open up the dialogue on things, because a lot of people don't want to feel crazy. A lot of people go through these things and they just don't want to, they feel like they're alone. And even in the church, people, you'd be surprised how many people don't believe, like in the demonic, which is just baffling to me. So,
right.
I think it's been really great that these shows have come out, no matter how hokey or, cheesy or whatever they may be, they're still kind of normalizing it in a way.
Right. And they have to, nobody's going to watch a show. We say this all the time. Nobody's going to watch every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock for an hour of not finding any evidence and things like that. They have to. It's still entertainment television, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And the show that you were that you did, The Killer Contact. What was cool was there were like a bunch of facts you could corroborate and things like that. It was like history, like real locations or you know real history that you looked at. You got to see some amazing things doing that.
Yeah, no, it was definitely surprising. Like I went into it a healthy skeptic. You know, I definitely believe that there's a spirit world, and I definitely believe that it can interact with our plane or whatever. But I wasn't really. I mean, I was a little bit apprehensive as far as if I would actually see anything. I was surprised when things started to happen, and I did see like my first full body apparition, which. I mean, that's kind of like, the Holy Grail, and I never thought that I would be able to see that. And so when I did, it was such a surreal moment. I didn't want to be there, but at the same time, like, I was like, oh, I want to see this. So it was really cool. I mean, it was a great experience. I love history. I love traveling. I love experiencing different cultures, and all of that was pretty much wrapped up into the show.
Yeah, yeah. And like you said, you saw a full-bodied apparition. There's people that do this. Investigate their whole lives, and they don't. You know, that's really something. Actually, I mean, most people can't say they've seen that.
Right. Yeah, and it wasn't even at all what I expected it to be. Because you hear on these ghost shows that people explain what they've seen, and a dark shadow figure. You can't see through it, but it's the shape of a man. And I mean, that was what I experienced was unlike what anybody else has ever described on television. And yet at that same time, I knew what I was seeing, just intuitively in the core of, who I am. I knew what I was seeing. And then, one of my castmates was watching it too. So that's how I knew. I wasn't really like hallucinating that this was really happening.
Yeah. And one of the things about that show, it was more like an investigative show and things like that, but I don't think it brought out how first, your love of history, and I mean, you have a degree in psychology, like you love studying this stuff. And I know the show had a purpose and everything else, but I don't know if people can appreciate how much you had to have loved first the travel going to these places, but then just immersing yourself in the history of these places and how much you like to learn and things like that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it really was like a treat to do it. And I wasn't expecting it to be so rich. I mean, they're like, oh, you want to travel, around the world and, hunt ghosts. I'm like, yeah, cool. Sounds great. Let me check with my work, see if I can, get off. And then if I can, I'll do it. But yeah, I didn't expect to go to places that were so historically significant. So that was really awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And, learning about you and reading about you and things like that, you're really, really interested, well, obviously with your psychology degree, but you're really interested in the scientific part of the paranormal, the behavior, mental illness and things like that. Do you still study that? Do you still work on that aspect of it?
I love learning. I mean, I wish I could go back to school in some way, but it's hard to, go back to a student budget and not have a salary job and all that. But I do miss learning it, but I do try to stay on top of things by, like reading the latest, theories and psychology and stuff like that. I mean, it's not something that I read all the time, but I definitely take an interest in it and constantly reading articles and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's definitely still a passion of mine and something that perhaps I would pursue, in the future with graduate school.
Well, do you watch any of the paranormal TV shows? Do you have any of the favorites, or do you even watch them?
I watch it. Well, I mean, being on a paranormal show, it definitely ruins it for you as far as you see how things play out, and things aren't exactly sometimes what they seem. Things can be cut a certain way, and as with any show, I'm sure like there is validity to it. We experience real things that were unexplainable, But one of my favorite shows is probably Dead Files. I just love, I mean, I know there's no way that you can back up, like, or that you, you know, psychics, I believe in them. I believe people have abilities. And I know that some of Amy Allen's, you know, her, you know, when she goes through her investigations and things, she says she sees, some people can't grasp, you know, and they
right.
find a hard time. They can't wrap their mind around it. But I mean, I find her convincing. And just because I know I have similar facial expressions, like I'm really weird sometimes. Like in person, I talk with my hands a lot. I make a lot of weird faces. I'll change my pitch and how I talk sometimes. So I can just generally be awkward. not to say kids all the time, you know what I'm saying, but kind of. But that's one of my favorite shows. I really like the format and the things that they come up with.
Yeah, I do too. I love that show. And we had Steve on the show before a while back, and he's awesome. And he's skeptic like I am. Like, he doesn't even believe half the things on there, or he goes into it not believing it. And I'll tell you, we've had psychics on, and there are some that I actually think are psychic. But I almost think that's one of the easier things to say that you are. I would say for every 100 people that say they're psychics, like one or two have an ability. You know what I mean? But I believe Amy does. I honestly do believe Amy does.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think a lot of people, you know, will mistake in being able to read other people, you know, really well,
mm-hmm.
as, you know, having psychic abilities. And, you know, the word psychic is really, it's really just, you know, a term to refer to being able to attain information beyond the five senses, right? You know, you're able to pick up on things that you otherwise wouldn't get from your sense of smell, taste, hearing, it, you know what I'm saying? So,
uh-huh.
you know, like for myself, like I'm empathic, so I pick up on people's, and I can't speak to dead people, but I pick up on energy. So, you know, I can walk in a room and two people, I can tell you, you know, that they've been fighting. I can tell you sometimes what it's about. And I mean, I'm just pretty good though in general at reading people. And I think some of that can be tied into your experiences growing up. You know, if you were raised in a household where you constantly had to be hypervigilant for certain things, you know, for maybe a parent who has bad mood swings or something, like you will, and this is based on articles that I've read in psychology, it activates a certain part of the brain as a fight or flight mechanism. You know, it's like a survival mechanism, I mean, to kind of like stay or protect yourself from possible threats. So, I mean, there's all kinds of theories behind, you know, psychic abilities, but I will say that I do believe some people claim to have them that really don't. You know, they're just reaching for that, wanting that status and that power and that, you know, that like, ooh, I'm gifted, you know, I'm special and set apart, if that makes sense.
Nope, I agree 100%. And I remember when we first started this show, like I have zero ability, I'll say that right now, like I'm not empathic or anything, but to me, like, I didn't even realize that the term intuitive, you know, was used in the paranormal. You know, I'd heard empathic and psychic and things like
mm-hmm.
that. And we had a guest on who was actually empathic and sensitive. And I'm a salesman, and I was talking to her, and I was like, yeah, but, you know, I'm intuitive. But I meant, like, I'm intuitive, like I can, if I'm trying to sell something, this guy's not liking it. You know, I go into something else like you. I'm intuitive as far as, like, just the normal definition of it where, you know, I didn't even realize intuitive meant something paranormal, but there are a lot of people who I think that they might think they're sensitive, but they, like you said, they just read people. I mean, they should be salespeople or something instead of investigators, I think.
Right, and that's what makes us human, too. You know, there's a lot of human quality being intuitive or having intuition. I mean, my belief is that we all have it. It's just how in touch you are with your authentic self, you know, your it depends on you. That dictates, I mean, how much you're able to use your intuition or your gut. Women in particular tend to have, you know, better intuition just because they're more emotionally and, you know, vulnerable. They're okay being in touch with their feelings and receiving and being open to that stuff. So that's, you know, mother's intuition, that type of thing.
Right. I agree with that, too. And it seems like I would say, you know, a vast majority of the people we talk to, you know, just being in the paranormal or with this show or whatever, that they do have some sort of empathic or psychic ability, or women. There's a few guys out there, and really there's two that I trust, you know, with everything. I believe everything they say, but there's mm-hmm. always those ones, you know, that we've been told some crazy things over the past year and a half, and you know, there's some nuts out there.
Yeah, no, there really are, and there are people who exploit it, you know, and use it to their advantage, to the disadvantage of other people, and there's just bad karma out there for people like that, you know?
Yeah, yep, I agree. Well, not to stay on this, because there's a bunch of other things I want to get to, but on Killer Contact, what was probably your favorite place you got to go to?
Oh, gosh. Favorite for investigating, or favorite like behind the scenes, like the city?
Well, let's say behind the scenes in the city, just where you could go and have a blast.
I would say Edinburgh, Scotland was a lot of fun. It wasn't a huge city, but it was rich in history, and they had some great bars, and they had great, great little lounges and stuff. It was good, and the people are just so nice. It's like as we made our way, like, because we started in London, you know, went up to Edinburgh and then to Ireland. The people just got nicer and nicer and nicer. You know, like Irish people are being like, so nice, but you know, London people are. Yeah, I love British people. Like, I'm a huge Anglophile, but you know, they are kind of a little bit, you know, what's it, stoic.
Snotty.
You know.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, snotty. Like, I got stared at a lot while I was on the tube. And I asked one of our PAs who's from London, like, why that was. And she's like, well, that's because you smile and you laugh out loud. Like, we don't get that either. Like, they do it, but, you know, I guess I'm the typical obnoxious American where I'm like, ha, 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 that's so funny, you know. And they're just like, be quiet, you know, like, we don't want to hear everything that's going on with you. But, yeah, I should say Scotland was probably the best place. I love it. In fact, my sister and I are going back this December to spend Christmas in Scotland, so I'm excited.
Oh, cool. Well, okay, then on the second half of that, what was your favorite place to investigate?
To investigate, I would have to say, I guess it would have been the Borgia Palace, because, you know, we weren't outside in the element, and it was really active, and it was the place where I saw my first full-body apparition. I mean, the Hunyad Castle in Romania was really cool, but it was cold as balls. Like, you know how stone,
yeah.
Like, colder inside the castle by, like, 10 degrees than it was outside. And I guess that's because stone, you know, I don't know, keeps cold or something. Someone explained it to me, and I was like, whatever. I just need a scarf and two more pairs of gloves and another hat. But, the Castello Ascense that was in the, you know, the Borgia Palace, it was so gorgeous. It was huge. It was ornate. You know, it was in the center of Ferrara, Italy, which is a UNESCO World Site. So it's just, you feel like you're going back in time completely.
Yeah.
It was real easy just to lose yourself and be like, where am I? But yeah, it was very active. More active than I was expecting, just because, you know, when you get in those big places, it's hard to get a feel for it. But we went to the chapel area, and that's where I saw, you know, my first full-body apparition. And that was actually a time in filming that I thought about quitting because it was just so scary. Like, I was just completely – I felt like my psyche fractured. Like, I couldn't tell reality from what was not, and it was just really surreal, but a really cool place to investigate.
That's cool. I was going to ask that too. If it scared you when you saw that, or if it was just another day at work, but obviously it messed with you a little bit.
Oh yeah, it did, and it was interesting. And I think my personal experience in investigating, as you investigate regularly, you end up developing a sensitivity to energy and things. And as that was probably like the third or fourth place we went to, and I noticed a pattern that before we'd experience some like crazy activity, it would get really cold and like bone chilling cold, right? So there's a difference between cold and then like it's so cold you feel like your bone is gonna break in half.
Right, right.
Right. And so it would get cold and so you could see your breath. And then it was, for me, the way I experienced it was like a vacuum effect. So it would get cold and then you know, I start talking to myself like, uh-oh, here we go. And then it was like all of a sudden, it's almost like your hearing goes out, the room stands still, like every molecule in the area just like pauses. And then it's like, and it just bursts open, and then stuff starts going crazy. So that's what happened right before, you know, this apparition like came out of the wall. And what was so freaky about it at first was, I mean, it came out of the wall, so I saw it, but it walked in from this backpack that was sitting in the corner. And as it walked in front of it, mind you, there's all this ornate like decoration on the wall of this chapel, and it's passing in front of it like a magnifying glass. It's just magnifying the pattern behind it. So it passed in front of this bag, right? Like Hollow Man with Kevin Bacon?
Yeah.
Okay, it's like that effect. So I call it like the fishbowl effect or whatever. But as it walks in front of this backpack, it almost looked like it jutted out at me. And so I kind of flinched, and then it went back, and then it kept moving across the room right between Greg and I. And as it moved across, like, it looked like Greg was watching it too. And it started to, you know, just everything started popping out and then going back, popping out, going back. And I just walked right out the other doorway. And that was some freaky stuff. And what was even cooler is the EVPs that we caught were totally went along with what we were experiencing. So at the time, we couldn't hear female singing, but there was a female singing on the recorder, and I was the only female, like, in the area.
Yeah, you were the only female investigator on that whole show, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Yeah. Well, okay, for the people who haven't watched Killer Contact, you used equipment on that show, right? Investigative equipment?
Yeah, we did.
What's your favorite piece, personally? Like the EVP recorder, or did you have something else that you liked a lot?
I liked the REM pod. I thought that was fun, just because, I don't know, it lit up. But when we would ask questions, and, you know, it was easier to get a response with that. And, yeah, I would say that was my favorite. But we didn't have a whole lot of equipment, believe it or not. But that was the K2 meter was another one. But I liked the REM pod most. Except when we had, like, four of them going at the same time, and then something crazy was going on, then I'd get, like, overloaded. I'm like, turn them off! But it was good. I liked it.
I actually got to use the very first pieces of equipment I've ever touched in my life just last weekend. I'd never been on investigation or anything, but we were in Texas, you know, getting ready for this Paracon, and I got to use like the K2 and mm-hmm. and you know, a ghost box and. We used several things, and my favorite thing so far was probably the K2, just, you know, getting a response and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the ghost box, I would say that it like unnerved me a little bit with all the static, the noise, the, you know, it was like being in a room with a loud air conditioner or something. I couldn't take that one too well, but the Mel meter, the K2 meter, and those were fun. Those were cool to use.
Yeah, you know, I'm totally with you on the ghost box. I mean, we used it in Humberstone. It was obnoxious. I was like, I can't think right now. I mean, it's just
yeah.
so loud. And we did catch stuff on it, but, I mean, it wasn't worth it to me. But the stuff that they use on Ghost Adventures is pretty impressive. Like, I haven't really been paying attention lately, but, well, up until recently, I watched a few episodes, and I couldn't believe the stuff that their electrical engineers come up with. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the equipment is amazing, actually. There was one, a plasma, like a little plasma box that changes iridescent colors or whatever. That thing was awesome. We used it there. It's cool how they come up with stuff, and they keep getting better and better and better or more advanced. I mean, that part of it interests me a whole lot, the equipment part.
Right. Yeah. Same here, for sure.
But then everybody I've talked to, especially people that are sensitive like you, you can have all the equipment in the world, but still you're the most powerful piece of equipment on an investigation. You know, that's what everybody says.
Yeah, no, I would agree. You know, when we were investigating, it seemed that, you know, like I would pick up on things and then you'd go that way. So we would, and then you would bring out the equipment. And 'cause some of these places were just expansive. You know, they were such large the property, and you could go anywhere. But there's a certain kind of magnetic energy drawing, you know, that kind of takes you, sucks you in. And in a lot of cases, you know, it led us to some really key points in our investigation. So, and honestly, I wasn't even aware of how sensitive I was until doing these investigations, because other people weren't having the same experience as I was. And I, you know, but at the same time, we go and listen to a voice recorder and something, you know, it'll corroborate what my experience was. So that was kind of cool.
Had you gone on investigations before going on these? Like, had you been on local investigations with local teams or anything like that?
Yeah, I have. I investigated for, like, a short time with a local group. But just on my own with, like, a bunch of coworkers. This is probably, like, 4 or 5 years ago. We bought out Bobby Mackey's for the night, which is, like, 3 miles from here. I can see it from my work window downtown. It's
That's
not far
awesome.
Off. And,
Yeah,
it was a very cold February night, but we locked it out, and we investigated. That was the first place I've ever, you know, investigated a haunted location.
That's a hell of a place to start, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was expecting it to be, I was scared. And believe it or not, like, I have such an interest in this stuff, but it also terrified me for some reason.
Yeah.
So I kind of just stayed still most of the night and just kind of watched, you know, from the bar area. But, I mean, I did get up and move around, but it is so creepy in there. It really just, ugh, it's pretty scary. But not a whole lot happened, honestly. There's two ladies that were with me that were in the basement, and they were down there by themselves, and they heard the basement door open and then someone walk in and then stop right outside of the dressing room. And they went out there and no one was there, so they were pretty freaked out, and they're a huge skeptic, so they definitely caught my attention.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
Yeah, I'd never heard anybody say, Bobby Mackey's was okay. Like, it's always everybody who's been in there that I've talked to says it's creepy. Well, I haven't been there, but.
Yeah. I mean, it's dingy. It's kind of dirty. And I love it. Like, it's a great kind of hole-in-the-wall hillbilly bar. You could get stopped there, you know, any Saturday night. It is really kind of it's a different place. So.
Well,
but it's a good time if you're looking for cheap drinks.
Oh, yeah. Heck, yeah. After being on investigations like that, you know, just on your own with your group, and then when you do them on TV, I always ask people who come on from TV, what's the biggest difference? Like, does it feel less real? I know sometimes, you know, like dialogue and stuff, sometimes it takes a couple of takes, or they tell you they want to shoot it from here or whatever, but like, some things obviously you're going to feel the same, like seeing a full-bodied apparition. It doesn't matter if there's cameras going or not, but it's got to feel quite a bit different doing it on TV than just doing, you know, renting out Bobby Mackey's for a night.
Right. Yeah, it totally is. You have, you know, not to give away all secrets, but you have, you know, places to go to, storylines to cover in a way, and you've got to hit things. So, you know, you wouldn't spend a full night in just, you know, one location. You would spend, you know, hours, but not like a full night. So,
right.
And then you have, you know, you have to do, you know, your side commenting, explain things and stuff like that. But, I mean, yeah, there's the aspect of it's organized. So it's like, okay, next, all right, next, you know. But we still investigate, and we still were looking for answers.
Sure, collecting evidence and everything.
Right, yeah, exactly. Evidence as much as you possibly can, you know. It's what people like to, it's my opinion that it's not, I mean, some people take, in my opinion, like paranormal investigating way too seriously. They act like there's a right and wrong way to do it. And in my opinion, there isn't. I mean, it's not a science. You're not isolating variables. And if you did, I mean, we would probably not even get half the evidence or, quote, evidence that we get. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
The true scientific method, if you've ever taken any kind of science course, I mean, it's there's no science for how we do it. I mean,
right.
Using scientific instruments, but you're not isolating variables and testing for certain variables. So, there is no right or wrong way to investigate. I got a lot of shit for you know, dressing up like a hooker. But I mean, in all seriousness, like I was totally game for it. That was my clubbing dress actually for London. I was like, oh, I'll just throw on some fishnets. But it worked in that the fear is a very strong emotion, and vulnerability. And that is, in my opinion, one of the best catalysts for activity is if you put someone in there who's scared shitless, it will, I mean, imagine walking around in 6-inch heels. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like in the dark with supposedly this creeper, like whatever ghost guy. I mean, it's definitely a very vulnerable state to be in. So my fear was like heightened a lot. And, you know, that's,
well, like when you were doing the Jack the Ripper, that's a scary outfit to be wearing around when you're investigating Jack the Ripper, you know?
Oh, hell yeah. If I took a tumble down the stairs, you know how many times you'd see my hoo-ha? Like, I mean, I don't but, like, at any time, I couldn't even, like, I was teeter-tottering. Like, so I've got all this shit strapped in here, and I'm like, Jeff, are you here? You know, it's just, and then there's rats. There were dead rats around. Oh, my God, it was awful. Like, it really was. I don't know how they got me to do that. But then again, I mean, every episode, they're like, hey, crawl in there. I'm like, okay.
But it's cool, though, that you say about everybody does things different. Because we talk about this on this show, too, a lot, where first, there's no experts. And like you said, there's no real science behind it. And you take one piece of equipment. We were talking about millimeters and K2 meters and all that. You take one piece of equipment and give it to five people, they're going to use it five different ways. And there's not a wrong way. You can learn something from each way, you know?
Right, exactly. And I think the paranormal community could, you know, they just need to be less combative and less, you know, like, that's so stupid. It's like, come on, get over yourself. Like, seriously. Like, you're taking this shit way too seriously. I mean, and that's what I just find so entertaining the most sometimes, especially on Twitter and stuff. It's like, here we are arguing and being so negative to each other about the afterlife. You know what I'm saying? It's the afterlife.
Yeah.
Like, we should be positive. We should be, you know what I'm saying? There's an afterlife. Like, do unto others, you know what I'm saying? It's just ironic to me, like, how negative and nasty some people can be. And you're like, you realize there's an afterlife, right? Like, the way you're being is not very, you know, it's not very.
No, you're exactly right. And they get, like, you know, with the show and everything else, we're constantly on social media, either Facebook, Twitter, whatever, and people get disgusting with each other, like, nasty over some of this stuff. Some of it's childish, some of it gets really too personal, I think, but, you know, everybody does things a certain way, I guess. It's just, you're right, people take it really seriously, and nobody, you know, I wouldn't even say a majority, but a lot of people think it's their way and no way, you know, they're right, everybody else is wrong, and there's really no proof either way. Nobody's really an expert, so...
Right, and I'd be willing to bet those people have, you know, interpersonal issues in their regular life anyways, you know. But, and, you know, I do take it seriously, you know, investigating. I'm not saying it's just meant to be something like, oh, this is fun. I mean, it's
right,
totally,
right.
I mean, it's great when people are very passionate about the afterlife and trying to find some answers, you know. I think that's wonderful. But there are some people out there who, you know, take it completely the wrong way. And, and they just have no business doing it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So,
and since I didn't grow up with this real strong belief or paranormal interest, really, I'm amazed by it now and a lot of the equipment and things. But even less than the electronic equipment, like pendulums and dowsing rods or divining rods, that stuff, like, it just blows me away. And I've developed a really strong interest in that. But just as someone with an interest, really, I've had an opportunity over the last year or so to go on some investigations, but we've got one planned. My very first investigation coming up in December. Well, you're going to be there, but some of these people that Chris Sutton is going to be there, but we'd known him for a while, and he was going to be on my first investigation. Just people that I trust and people I think that do it the right way. Like, they never attack anybody. They don't, you know, they don't say their way is right. So you have no idea how stoked I am to go to the mineral wealth thing and go on my first investigation with a lot of people I trust.
Oh, that's exciting. I'm really
yeah.
excited. I looked up some of the locations and it seems, I mean, I can't even tell you like how stoked I am because like, this is what I love to do. And it's so hard for me to pull away from regular life, you know, and to do these things. So I'm definitely excited to be able to go. And I'm excited for you. Like, how do you feel about it besides being excited? Like, are you nervous at all? Or?
Yeah, I'm a little nervous. We kind of cheated a little bit because when we went down to Texas last weekend, actually did a walkthrough of the VFW and the Hill House, and we walked around the Baker. So I got to be at the location instead of just showing up cold, never been in there. But we didn't do any investigating. But I got to at least feel it, you know, go inside and walk around and see it. But I still am a little nervous. I'm more excited than anything. It's going to rock. I mean, I can't wait.
Yeah, no, same here. It's going to be a great time. So thank you so much for having me and this convention. I'm really excited. I've never been to Texas, so it'll be my first time, too.
Yeah, you were saying that. Texas rocks. You're not going to want to leave. Well, maybe. Ohio's a lot different. Like, you're used to the – it's going to be – well, it might not be too hot down there in December, but it's going to be hotter than Ohio, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well, I'm okay with that. I am.
Well, Molly, we're going to take a quick break, and then there's a bunch of other things I want to get back to, and we'll be back in 2 minutes.
All right, sounds good.
Howdy, y'all. Come on down to Texas for the first annual Mineral Wells Paracon 2015, from Friday, December 4th to Sunday, December 6th. Join Lisa Lamrock of Spurs, Texas, with Danielle Passione and Bill Bachman of Ichiban Karna Broadcast Network as they give a warm southern welcome to Scott Gruenwald of Paranormal Paparazzi and Ghost Adventures, John Tooney of Ghost Stalkers and WeirdLectures.com, Brian J. Cano of The Haunted Collector on Sci-Fi. Also from Sci-Fi will be Molly O'Connelly from Killer Contact and Randy Hardy of Deep South Paranormal. From the Bio Channel, Chelsea DeMolly. And from the Travel Channel, we'll have John Brightman. Mother Christina Rake will be there, along with the pop culture professor, Dr. Rebecca Hauser. Coyote Chris Sutton, Selena Roan, Alejandro Dominguez with his new documentary, Haunted Lockdown, and Christopher St. Booth from Spook TV. Reverend Mother Christina Rake will kick off the festivities with a ceremony for the men and women of our armed forces, attended by the Patriot Guard riders. There will be investigations at both the Haunted Hill House and VFW Post 2399, as well as lectures, vendors, and parties. Stick around, you'll get to attend the wedding. Come on out and be a part of this extravaganza. For ticket information, go to www.mwp2015.com.
The Mineral Wells Paracon 2015 is brought to you by Incubi Incarnate Broadcast Network, Spurs, Texas, Brian Hathaway, Clark Gardens, Fuzzy's Taco Shop, George Turner, Ghost Stalkers North Texas, Neosho County Paranormal Investigators, Vita Ortiz, the New Mexico Paranormal Association, Knitted Kingdoms, and Hobbs Paranormal Phenomenon Investigators.
All right. Thanks for coming back. For the people just tuning in, we're with Molly O'Connelly. Molly, we talked about some of your TV stuff earlier and your investigations and stuff. And for some of your fans out there, we'll bring up a couple of things they might not know, like that you're quite the photographer.
Yeah, sorry. My dog was barking like crazy. So,
okay.
I just heard him quiet. I've always kind of taken an interest in arts and photography just kind of came about from filming, actually. Production was telling our producers on the road, our field producer, that they liked the way I shot things and, you know, took pictures of things, and so I was like, huh. And then, you know, a lot of the production people, they have backgrounds in photography and some, you know, film and stuff. So they showed me neat apps and how to edit things and certain tricks. And so that's where I kind of got involved with that. I really like it.
Well, cool. Do you just do mainly still photography, or do you do some video?
As far as, yeah, I do like short little Instagram videos. Like I'll just put
music
to it. Nothing fancy. It's just random stuff. Like when I go ride my horses or, I don't know, if I just find something on video interesting, then I'll post it. But, awesome. Yeah, usually I just do like some portrait photography on the side. That's been recent. That's about it though.
Cool. Yeah, I know you're passionate about, your two pit bulls, and then you've got involved in being a voice for pit bull rescue.
Yeah, I've got two pit bulls. Actually, I did the DNA test on it. Here's a free plug. It's called, what is it, Wisdom Panel. It's like $65 on Amazon. And if you have a mutt dog, or if you just want to know what your dog's genetic makeup is, you can ordered on Amazon, you swab their mouth, you put it in, you mail it to them, and 2 weeks later, they send you a certificate of, like, what their DNA is. So cool. So, Layton is one of my pit bulls, and he is half American Staffordshire Terrier and half Argentine Dogo, and then Beatrice is full American Staffordshire Terrier.
Cool. are they listening tonight?
B is barking upstairs. Langston's passed out on the couch, so I guess. I don't know what they're doing. They're just being lazy.
They can check out the podcast later. They'll be all right. And you also ride horses, yeah?
I bought I bought my first horse earlier this year. His name's Chippewa. Call him Chip for short. And he's an American Quarter Horse. He's about 19 years old, and he's so sweet. He's really... really cool horse.
Awesome. My youngest daughter is into horses. She used to rodeo and stuff. She hasn't been doing it for a while, but 19 seems. How old does a horse live? I didn't know they got that old.
Like up to. I mean, I've heard of 40 years old being. I mean, that's really exceptional. But there's some on the farm that I board him at that are pushing 30. So 30,
wow.
35.
Cool. Yeah, I had no idea. I never even thought to ask how old a horse gets. You've got some stuff coming up in this next year. Can you talk about any of the things you have coming up?
I'm actually set to be cast on a show, the paranormal reality show that will be filming in 2016, if everything goes as planned. So if everything goes well, then it'll be filming next year. So that's pretty much all I can share at this point. But
Sure. It's got to be exciting, though, yeah?
It is. It definitely is. Especially when I've been told about the premise, like it's definitely more down my alley. I'm really excited to see what happens with it.
Absolutely. And I know you've got the Mineral Wells event in December. Do you have some events coming up between now and then?
No, not really. Yeah, I'm turning 30. Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
That's about it. No, I'm pretty busy right now with some, photography stuff and also just, I don't know, living day to day. So right now, no, I don't have anything, which is why I'm looking forward to coming out.
Oh yeah, it's going to be a blast in December. When you stopped doing Killer Contact, and you'd said earlier that you'd gone on some investigations before that, have you gone on investigations after that weren't on TV that you just went out using some of the knowledge that you picked up by doing the show?
Let's see, that's a good question. There are some places around here that are known to be haunted that I have tried to get some friends. But that's the thing. It's finding people that will do this stuff with you because a lot of people just look at you like, you want me to do what with my free time? And I'm like, yeah, come on. And it's not, it's not nearly as fun going by yourself. So, gosh, I'm trying to think. I know I have. It's just, it wasn't anything where we, paid. It was probably just some local place that's haunted or, local haunted hotel. But, no, actually nothing right now comes to mind. Bobby Mackey's. I did that again. Return to Bobby Mackey's some coworkers asked me to go, and we did a 2-hour investigation, and nothing really happened. I mean, there's one incident that did, but it's interesting because I expected to go into that place initially like blown away, and I've been kind of underwhelmed both times. So it's creepy,
yeah,
but nothing really exceptional happened.
Well, you've been to the castle of like Vlad the Impaler and stuff since then. then you go back to like Bobby Mackey's. But I'm curious, did you approach it different after being at these other places? Like, was your mindset completely different going in there than it was maybe the first time you went?
Oh, yeah. You just have better direction, I think. The first time around, I was like, I'm just going to sit here and see what happens. But I think the second time around, I was like, okay, let's set up the voice recorder. Okay, let's play the recorder. All right, nobody whisper. If you whisper, then make sure you say it, it's you. You know, there's definitely like I said, more direction, and it's just more, I wouldn't say structured, but there's a point to it, whereas before, like, let's just see what happens.
Cool. And that was kind of a selfish question since, like, I was kind of nervous about going into the VFW and the Haunted Hill House, and since I've already been there, I was hoping you'd say, yeah, no, when you go the second time, it's nothing. You just go in. But,
the second time around, we'll see. Hopefully I won't be, like, you know, big, I don't know, scared cat. I mean, I'm usually not. Like, the show had me saying, like, oh, my God. And I really don't get that in real life. It was just the way it was cut. So, but, you know, I do get a little wound tight, so I'm just letting you know. Like, don't pull any fast moves on me, or I might, you know.
Heck, yeah.
I get a little antsy.
Yeah, I think I'm going to, too. And you know how the way they've explained these investigations to me, I think there's going to be 10, 12, 15 people on investigations. I'm hoping to just to kind of, you know, lay back and watch everybody do what they do and just kind of everybody will forget I'm there, kind of.
Yeah. Are these places, you said you've been to them, like, are they... and I've seen pictures. Now, the house, is it, how big would you say it is, like, square footage-wise?
I'd say altogether it's probably, anywhere 1,600, 1,750 square foot, probably. It's not huge. The rooms aren't real big. The thing is, because I saw pictures before we went, and like, the wedding is actually supposed to take place on the staircase. It's just not a very wide staircase. It's awesome looking. Mm-hmm. It goes up and turns and everything. But the rooms themselves are, you know, it's an old house. So it's got, like, the 10-foot ceilings downstairs. And then upstairs it's got the slopes, obviously, you know. But it's not going to be too crowded, I think, with, you know, even 15 people in there. I don't think it would be real tight and everything. Some of the rooms, there's, I want to say, 3 rooms upstairs. And one of them's a little tight, but, you know, I doubt everybody's going to cram into one place. I don't know. I've never been on an investigation, so I don't know exactly how it's gonna play out. But the VFW, it's enormous. Like, I mean, everybody at the event could go on an investigation there at the same time. It is huge, and there's so many rooms. All the rooms are big. It's enormous. You're going to like it, I think. Because there's a huge history there at that building.
Yeah, I saw some of it. I'm interested to learn more when I get out there, for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast, and I can't think of better people and really even a better place to go check it all out. And and there's going to be so much good things, as far as giving money back to the VFW and then the people that are going to be there, there's going to be a lot of good people there, and I'm excited to meet everybody and to see how everybody does their things there. It's going to be awesome.
Great. I'm excited. Good.
We are too. Well, if you want to tell everybody where to find you on social media and how to get a hold of you.
Okay. We'll see. Instagram. I use that most. So, by the way, if you tweet me, like, I check it like once every week. but I'll try to be on it more. At Molly O'Connelly. That's pretty straightforward. It's the same for each. MOLLYOCONNOLLY.
Awesome. Well, I think we will get off of here for tonight. Tell Langston and Beatrice we said hello. We can't wait to see you in December. We'll talk to you quite a bit before then, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely stay in touch. So thank you so much for having me on tonight. It's been a pleasure. And I look forward to seeing you guys and seeing you, too, on your big day. How exciting.
Yes, it's going to rock. And thank you so much for being on tonight. It's been awesome. We've learned a ton. And thanks for coming to the event in December. We can't wait. And we will talk to you very soon.
All right. Sounds good. Take care.
Bye. Thanks, Molly.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, well, that's Molly O'Connelly. She is super nice, and she's done a lot more than even I, you know, I've been doing research and everything. She's been involved in a lot of things, so that's awesome. She's going to be at Mineral Wells. You guys, don't forget to get your tickets. There's still some available at www.mwp2015.com. And thank everybody who's been in the chat room tonight. Thanks, everybody who was listening. And until next week, keep an eye light on.
Thank you for listening to this presentation on the EQ by Incarnate Broadcast Network. You may be leaving for now, but the nightmares will return.